the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. This is Doomsday, your boy. Joining me, of course, is one of the hosts with the most, one of the founders of this podcast, Pootie Katie.
You're goddamn right, because I got something to rant about.
All right, yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, that's right, because he's usually like the moderator type on this shit.
Yeah.
So I got something for y'all. He actually has some bullshit to dish out. But yeah.
A little bullshit.
But of course our last man in this trio of ours is the guy hailing from the West Side. West Side Goth.
No joke. Money in the Bank was bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Speaking of Money in the Bank, that's the first thing we're talking about on the podcast. So, Pootie, can you take it away?
First of all, they had a pre-show match that I didn't even know either happened nor gave a damn. The Colognes face the Hype Bros, and Zack Ryder is back now?
Oh, I actually saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
It wasn't
How did he
bad.
Look?
It was an okay match that no one's going to care about.
Just a filler.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like, what was the last pay-per-view? I can't even remember the last pay-per-view.
Last pay-per-view?
The Raw pay-per-view that just passed, like, their pre-show match, I would say, was better than this. Because, you know, it was two guys who knew each other and did some cool stuff. This one was like, hey, the Hype Bros are back. They win. Let's move on.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad match, but wasn't anything you'd go, like, well, you know, if you wanted to see a Hype Bros match, go see this one.
Were they about to win the titles before Zack Ryder got hurt?
They might have been. They had been on a roll, I think.
Right. All right. Well, they had a match, and the Colognes lost. Now let's get to the regular show. Not the regular show. The Money in the Bank show.
I love the regular show, man. Too bad that it's over, right? That's a damn shame.
Yeah.
I believe it's done. Yeah.
I didn't watch all the last season because I gave up on it part way through, but that last episode was amazing.
The only episode I remember the title of is Mordecai and the Rigbys. And that was when they're like having their own band and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was early on. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's probably like the early episode. Money in the Bank, goddammit. first match they started off with was the first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match. The first one ever. So they had Becky Lynch, Tamina Snuka, which of course she wasn't going to win, Natalya, Charlotte, and Carmella. Featuring James Ellsworth, and the winner of this match was Carmella.
No. The winner of this match.
She did win the match.
The real winner of this match, you all know that it was James Ellsworth.
No. The real winner of this match was sexism in the work industry.
Well, let me get this off my bird chest, okay? This is what I was going to rant about. This is the first Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. It's supposed to be historic for all women because they came so far from what they came through a decade ago, let's say. And either one of these women could have won, besides Tamina Snuka. Either one of them could have won, but you got James Ellsworth climbing up the ladder and grabbing the briefcase. And now when he was climbing up, I'm like, okay, normally someone knocks him down or someone's going to shake the ladder. And maybe he'll just fall and do something crazy to help Carmella win. And that didn't happen. So he took the briefcase off the hook. And mind you can hear the crowd. Like, the crowd is like, yeah, James, go get it. Knowing he ain't really gonna get it. And he gets the thing. Drops the briefcase to her. And the match is over. So now the fans is like, wait, what is going on? The referees didn't, for some reason, they was on the outside talking about something. Nothing, basically. And then he comes on the mic, says, your winner is Carmella.
No, because I heard the refs. I heard the refs. Like, some of them were talking about restarting the match.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Actually, it was like 2-1.
The idea
like,
was
no.
bad. The execution was bad. Like, it's not the worst that I've ever seen, but this could have been different. Okay, how about James Ellsworth helping Carmella out?
Why don't we have a match
out?
Where Tamina
like,
was actually
Carmella
good?
Carmella will be on, like, the
sucked.
Shoulders of, like, Ellsworth, and Ellsworth is climbing up the ladder, and then she grabbed the briefcase. The person that grabbed the briefcase was a guy. This is a female match. So the first... So now we can't even show you highlights of the first women's Money in the Bank ladder match because it's been tainted by a guy. Literally. So what are you going to show? Carmella on the ground with the briefcase or him dropping the briefcase down to her?
Right,
because you're
right,
not
going to
have
right.
her up on the top of the ladder talking about, yes, I did it. I got the briefcase and stuff like that. It just seemed phony. It seemed like it was a waste of a great opportunity that they didn't even have to go that far to do. Like, the match was fine. It was passable. They were doing what they could and to the best of their ability. Not knocking the match itself. It was just the execution of the finish. Carmella could win. Not a problem. She can win. But to have James Ellsworth do all of that and then just drop it off like, here, and then the match is over. Now you can go.
I actually think the match was headed out pretty... I'd give the match more credit. I thought the match was actually really good.
Yeah, the match itself was great. But then
yeah, Tamina was actually
terrible.
Good at it. They were trying. You know, they were a little scared, but that wasn't stopping them. And I think also one of my biggest problems, we've had a Money in the Bank match or a TLC match for this many years, and now suddenly they decided, well, let's have the valet do it.
Yeah, that's
fucked up. Why
didn't
they have Rhino jump in for Edge and Chris
exactly,
two years ago?
Because I remember how Rhino, like, he didn't try to climb up. He, like... I think didn't he have Christian on his shoulders or something?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. How come you didn't have him on his shoulders and get the briefcase?
So,
could have did that.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's like someone sat down and finally said, like, well, is it a non-disqualification match? Why not? Like, bitch has been non-DQ for 20 years. Why now?
Well, no rules have been broken.
What time are you pulling this shit?
Right, yeah.
You ruined Tamina's only good match. How dare you?
And there was no rules. There's no rules in a Money in the Bank ladder match. That is true. Like I said, it was the execution of the finish. Definitely should have been in the women's hands at the top of that damn ladder. And it wasn't.
This is all Vince's fault. This could only have been Vince McMahon.
The first Money in the Bank women's ladder match has been tainted.
Because we heard that Vince was high on James Ellsworth, so you know it was Vince's fault.
He waited to a women's match to give Vince to give Ellsworth his moment in his real moment in professional wrestling. That is some bullshit. He already beat AJ Styles in a ladder match, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he did.
He didn't need to win two of them.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised he didn't win the Royal Rumble
too. Over AJ Styles and Natalya. What the hell?
Yeah, the match was fine. I liked the match, and then with the stuff that happened on SmackDown, that whole fucking I bet you they realized they made a mistake.
We'll get to it.
Like, oh my Jesus! Next up, because don't you dare be sour. The New Day going up against the Usos for the tag team championships of the SmackDown, and the New Day did win, but. They won via countout, so the champions are still the Usos. What did you guys think of this match?
A lot of shenanigans.
How dare you go two matches in a row, two major matches with some bullshit?
Shenanigans. What was up with all the shenanigans?
Match, I mean, this match, like, I almost didn't want to watch this match because I was so pissed, but then I sat and started watching it, and my God, was it going great. This match was on track to be a tag match of the year, and then they pulled some bullshit.
Right? It was so good until the end. Why?
You were like, what? Oh, hell no. You ruined what could have been one of the great women's matches of the year, of all time, and then you ruined one of the great tag matches that you were building. What the hell?
That's just say trash, yo. Trash.
At this point, I was wishing I was watching a Raw pay-per-view. This is how it was going.
Jesus. And that's saying a lot, because Raw never been that good anyway. So they have something good. But still, New Day did win. Uso retained the tag title via countout. I'm sorry, guys. But back-to-back. You know, WWE did that before. I forgot what pay-per-view that was. But it was just like, they're not going to make the same mistake again. They did it. And guess what? We still watch. Crazy.
Yeah.
Next up is this Women's Championship of SmackDown. Naomi going up against Lana. Lana was holding her own. Not bad. In the ring. Still probably needs a little bit of work, but it was not horrible. Not horrible. I would say. Simple match. Sure. And then all of a sudden, this fake winner, you know, Carmella comes out with the briefcase. And then when she came out, I just looked at it and was like, nah, it was something tainted about that. Like, it didn't feel like, yeah, she's going to cash in tonight. Granted, she didn't, and Naomi did win.
Yo, could you imagine her cashing in a briefcase that was already in question to get a title? And actually win it?
It would have sucked, but at least it would have removed the problem I had with this match. Because now we're going into the third match of the main show where there's some fucking shenanigans going. Like,
shenanigans.
Why? Why? And like I said, for Lana's, realistically, her first important match, she did an okay job. You didn't need the distraction. She was able not to be horrible. She actually put on a decent hold or two. So, yeah. I don't understand the Kimura, like, why? Mm-hmm. Why?
They just said fuck it that day. They just said fuck it. Go out there. But don't cash in, though. Just go out there. And she got the distraction. Not the face. The heel got distracted for Naomi to win.
I know. You know, so. It ain't no fucking sense.
Trash.
I don't know what's going on.
So. Yeah, and Carmella, oh, man. So now, by this time, it's 9 o'clock, and we have two matches left. The next match was the WWE Championship match. Jinder Mahal defends his title against Randy Orton. And I don't remember me watching this match.
I think I
watched the end where Orton was beating up the Singh brothers, because they got sent out.
I remember.
Randy
this.
Orton did all this RKO stuff, all this damage to the Singh brothers. And then Jinder Mahal beats him.
It was a fucking rerun.
And don't forget, it was a rerun plus Legends for some reason.
Oh right, so, yeah, because
so
had it
was
Rick
a
Flair
special edition rerun.
Sergeant
with
Slaughter
two
and who else?
At it.
Orton's. because they were in St. Louis, right?
The
hometown of Randy Orton.
Production. The fuck? Four matches
in
Four
a
matches.
Row with
what the
something.
Hell?
Something, but Jinder Mahal is still the champion, so everything is okay, right?
Yeah, I'm fine with Jinder Mahal winning. I'm fine with Randy Orton trying to kill the Singh brother again with that one move. But four matches with shenanigans, a match that was a special edition rerun. What the hell was wrong with the people putting the show together? Look, I generally like watching WWE pay-per-views, but this pay-per-view at this point made me wonder why I watch WWE.
At least you didn't pay $60 for it.
Oh, yes. Thank God.
Yeah. If I had paid $60, I would never be watching WWE. Thank God for the WWE Network.
I know, right?
What you should do is pay all of us longtime viewers back for all those free days they gave those people who never, ever got it. I want, like, a year free because of all the time they gave all these other people free. They owe it to me now.
Now, here's another match. Like I said, so that match ended around, like, 9:30 somewhere. We still haven't had the main event yet. They fill it in with Breezango going up against the Ascension, who I guess was doing something. They destroyed their
Ascension,
office.
Ascension, okay, yeah. I think a previous week... They got their office, their detective's office destroyed. Breeze was on the ground and all that stuff like that, and they're trying to figure out who done it or whatever. So it ended up being the Ascension.
And they did a great great promo earlier in the show where they were making the Michael Jackson references.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. But let me... This was the first match on the show. This less than 4 minute match that was not on the marquee that had an actual fucking ending free of shenanigans.
No shenanigans.
At this point, it's like, what? Now, I love Brazonga, but come on. The Ascension?
I know. Man. Has Conor always been that big? Seemed like the last time I saw him, he just became like a big-ass dad or something. Like, he never was that huge.
Who cares? The fact that Ascension lost the match that they were written into their promo for no goddamn reason makes you think they are gone.
Yeah, they did definitely lose that match. Now, to the main event. The match of the night, the Money in the Bank ladder match, to get a contract, to get a WWE Championship shot, Kevin Owens, the United States Champion of America, my client Dolph Ziggler, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, and Nakamura Shinsuke. Well, when we were looking at the entrances, everybody had pops here and there, but Baron Corbin's, like, music, you can tell, like, ain't gonna get no pop because it's so mellow and calm. So we were all saying, hey, when is he gonna enter? He's probably gonna be last. Or he's probably gonna be second to last and let Nakamura get the big pop at the end. So when Nakamura came out, he was like, all right, fine, Baron Corbin's gonna be last. Well, his indie hating ass decided to attack Nakamura before he got into the match. And he's like, ring the bell, already establishing dominance.
I saw somebody, like, took a picture of him standing over Shinsuke, and I guess they were making fun of when he told Apollo Crews to go back to ROH, even though Apollo Crews, you know, was never in ROH. It said, go back to IWA Mid-South. I was just laughing.
Oh, my God. Well, he took Nakamura out of the picture. Sami Zayn was doing shit. Kevin Owens was doing shit. Corbin was sleep on the outside. It was actually really, really fun, but the best part happened. AJ Styles, Nakamura. Nakamura came back. The music came back, and then you got the big pop. Baron Corbin's like, oh, shit. Baron Corbin decides to throw a ladder to the guy on the outside. That didn't work. Nakamura fucks him up. Nakamura fucks up Kevin Owens on the outside. Nakamura fucks up Dolph Ziggler pretty bad. Sami Zayn is out there getting fucked up. Only one left in the ring was AJ Styles facing off against Nakamura Shinsuke. And everybody was just like, oh, shit, here you go. Wrestle Kingdom, blah, 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 and all this stuff. They don't even know what that match was even started on. Fucking
nerds. You know, it's funny because New Japan actually... Wait, I think the New Japan might have put that match up this week.
Yeah, they did.
Never mind. It was Styles Okada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Styles Okada.
I think they put Styles Nakamura a few weeks back. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These guys had a good exchange.
But they had an exchange like a few weeks back earlier too, so that made sense that they posted a few weeks ago also. So
yeah.
They've been like SmackDown has been teasing those two.
Now, AJ and Nakamura was over there facing off doing all this cool shit. Everybody was like, this is awesome, this is great. Glad you guys had your fun, because it's time to kill it with Baron Corbin as he climbs up the ladder, retrieves the briefcase, and now he is Mr. Money in the Bank. What is your guy's
Baron
thought?
Corbin didn't take any major... Well, not Conor Nakamura, for obvious reasons. But Baron Corbin took, like, no major bumps in this match, no, I don't think.
Yeah, he
was on the outside.
He was chilling, sweet. Son.
Yeah, yeah. Which was both smart and both, like, eye-rolling. But, no, I like this match. I was saying before we started, I do not agree that this is the best ladder match in wrestling history.
No.
Or at least WWE history. But this was a good... Money
this
in the Bank
was match. Really, really good. Yes. I will put this up. I wouldn't say match of the year, but it will be the top matches of this year. This match was so much fun.
I'd say top matches of the month. To be honest with you, I wouldn't go. It's nowhere near my top 15 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
was
like,
match was fun.
It was still fun though.
Okay. So WWE now has what? AJ versus John Cena at Royal Rumble. They got, if you want to count NXT, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne.
I honestly,
what else?
Even though I don't actually sadly have that many WWE matches in there, I would put Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
Maybe maybe was it the Fatal 5-Way. Honestly, I think Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, even though I don't know if I'd put any of the matches in my top 10, 20 this year, I've honestly liked both their matches a lot. Mm. That's probably the best mainstream feud they have going on, is just watching Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman go at it. And their matches aren't even, like, great, but there's so much energy in those matches that they're amazing.
Oh, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns and, with Jericho and the Shark Cage.
Okay, here's what I have, though, so far. Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, John Cena, AJ Styles at Royal Rumble.
Those are basically my two top ones. Oh, yeah. NXT, we forgot, the triple threat with AOP, DIY, and,
The Revival.
That, and I also have DIY versus AOP at San Antonio, also. Also that one.
The UK tournament. I think Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, or Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews.
That yes, I have both one. Of those. Both of those, too. What else?
Right,
I had the Elimination Chamber also.
Okay, Bobby Roode and Nakamura, or Bobby Roode and Dayo.
Many of those. No. What I do have is Almas versus Lorcan. It was on an NXT episode in March. That one was really good. And then another one was Aleister Black versus Almas at TakeOver Orlando. Also that one.
See, for me, even though I wouldn't put any of his matches up high, Almas has been having a sneaky good year.
Yeah, he has. He's had great matches this year. And I think do I have another one from him? Roddy versus...
Yeah, Shane McMahon.
Oh, and also...
The WrestleMania versus, match, the first match on WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's good. And the the tag team ladder match for WrestleMania was good, too.
That was fun.
Yeah. It's not, like, a lot of these matches aren't going to go... I can tell you for damn sure that AJ Styles, John Cena... probably the triple threat NXT tag match and the Bate Dude match are probably my three highest WWE-related matches so far. But, and like I said, Reigns and Strowman have probably had the best WWE feud, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah. But, I don't even know. Wait, did y'all give our thoughts on the Money in the Bank and the winner? Did we just go
straight to that? Me and Doomsday picked Baron Corbin to win, so...
Yeah, I have no problem with Baron Corbin winning. He was the one who I believe needed it the most. I think the other guy I thought who might have gotten it was either Sami Zayn or Owens, but Baron Corbin made sense because I think he needs it. Sami Zayn, I'm just hoping that he can get something.
Sami Zayn is going to win the title somewhere down the line. Because he is their underdog babyface.
Yeah, they're waiting. They're saving that one. Saving that one. As long as you can
stay healthy. And I think he got something, a little bit of a shyness thing, because I guess there were one of the various attacks that happened in London, one of the hero officers was off-duty wearing his Sami Zayn shirt, right? Yeah. So they had Sami Zayn filming something. So,
it's
the heroism thing.
I don't even know if you guys are going to give it a grade, but scale of 1 to 10.
My problem is, this is the second pay-per-view in a row that was a one-match show, but the last one at least had a pretty decent undercard, free from shenanigans, so I got... Not only will I don't even want to rate this pay-per-view.
Remember, the matches weren't bad. It was just the finishes.
And the finishes ruined it. Look, it's a frustrated pay-per-view. If you walk in it knowing it's a frustrated pay-per-view, you might enjoy it. But having watched it, and even though I don't watch the weekday shows, I was at least invested because I wanted the Women's Money in the Bank match to be good. I like the Usos and the New Day. I forget what the third... Oh, the women's match was okay. I don't care about Randy Orton or Jinder Mahal's feud, but I could buy the importance of it. I buy... What it was, I was pissed off that it was a rerun. It was fine last time. It was absolutely fine. It worked. Why do it again? Because
I don't know, it was so frustrating. I didn't like this pay-per-view. And WWE needs to stop doing these one-show pay-per-views. The difference, we want pay-per-views that are on point. We want, watch some damn NXT, Vince. Give us some good singles match. Give us some good undercard matches, then do the big match at the end. Come on.
Well, don't worry, because next pay-per-view is going to be called Bad Blood, because that is what I
No,
want.
It is Great Balls of Fire.
You shut your lips. No. Fuck that.
See, but that Great Balls of Fire looks like it's at least a two-match show. At least
and they only got Lesnar, Joe, and Roman Reigns and Strowman now.
Exactly.
Hey, that's all they need. That's all they need right now. For that.
Shit.
Oh, speaking of that's all they need, Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett came there. Or
yes,
Mike
yeah,
Kanellis.
Forgot.
Yes, that was like the watching this pay-per-view, it was weird to me because the promo with Breezango and then the Kanellis thing were the two first things on the main show I actually liked.
And the funny thing is, like, I'm still calling him Mike Bennett because I can't help myself.
Mike Kanellis.
And then he said he's Mike Kanellis. And John, you know, JBL was like, oh, you took her last name?
You took her last name?
I just shook my head and was like, I can't
believe his name. I don't know if that's true.
Oh, what'd you say?
I think no. His name is Mike Bennett.
But it is Mike Bennett, but for some reason TNA was able to trademark it.
Oh, so
miracle.
Yeah, or something. But see, I actually fine with him being Mike Kanellis.
I think Mike
it's an interesting
move.
It's an interesting gimmick. I'll give it that.
They did. I know you're going to talk about SmackDown, but I guess when they did a bit on SmackDown that wasn't aired, it was put online exclusively. So I just want to point that out.
Oh, okay. See, I got to watch it because yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, what the fuck? Where are they? So
yeah,
I have to go back and watch it now.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday on WWE's Twitter feed. They aired it because I heard someone say in the crowd that they did it live. So I'm like, oh, maybe they just did it for the live audience. But I guess they did put it on WWE's Twitter feed too. Huh. So there was a Mike and Maria Kanellis bit at SmackDown.
Okay.
I don't know what. Maybe they were running too long. I can understand if you're doing 2 hours and you have too much material, you have to cut something. But if they did it like this, that's a smart way to cut it. Put it online. Do it for the live audience. It'll be interesting to see how this goes. I like the chemistry, obviously.
Yeah. So, fuck this pay-per-view.
Yeah,
yeah. We're not saying this because we hate WWE. We want WWE. We love this roster of wrestlers. But this pay-per-view was some bullshit.
It was trash.
Some old bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah. So, now we move on to what?
Yo, and just on a side note, what was it? 2 days ago, I stepped on a board of nails, right?
Ugh.
And
that's really hardcore.
That wasn't as nearly as painful as Money in the Bank.
God damn!
Oh, no, but for real though, like Monday.
That's a shoot.
But Monday, like yeah, I was wearing some Nike Zooms. I wasn't wearing any work boots, so. Those shits went through my, like, it went into my goddamn foot. And it wasn't those, like small-ass nails. It was, like, one of those nails that you fucking use a nail gun to put in 2x4s. So them bitches went through my goddamn foot. That shit still hurts. Yesterday, I squeezed some nasty shit out of it. Look, I think it's clean, though. It should be all good. But that's...
So you the Tournament of Death 17 winner?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you and Jimmy Havoc can have a fight.
I heard Tournament of... speaking of Tournament of Death, I heard this shit was whack.
I guess. Jimmy Havoc won this year. I've never actually looked at the list of winners, but damn.
I think it was like Jimmy Havoc won. I think Danny Havoc won it like twice or three times. Masada won it back-to-back.
Masada won three times back-to-back. Thumbtack Jack.
Matt Tremont finally won.
White Feeder, then Nick Mondo, then White Feeder, then Necro Butcher, then Nick Gage, then Drake Younger, then Brain Damage, RIP, Danny Havoc, then Thumbtack Jack twice, Scotty Vortex, Nick Gage again, Masada, Danny Havoc, Jun Kasai, Matt Tremont, Ricky Shane Page, and then Jimmy Havoc. You know, if you like this. I remember 1 year Drew Gulak showed up and did all the the ring announcements to all because the fans hated him and they just booed the fuck out of him. He was the champion at the time. Okay. That which I thought was funny.
Yes. Okay. So now that side note is done. Raw happened. And of course, first thing that happened was freaking Roman Reigns coming out. He was talking some bullshit about he's basically beating everybody who's important, whatnot. Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman. He didn't really beat him, but he put him out of commission. Of course, he talks about Undertaker, which got some huge boos. But Joe wasn't having it. And Samoa Joe came out and he was like, "Yeah, you ain't beat me." And he was talking his shit, and Roman Reigns agreed with what Paul Heyman said the week before about how this will be Samoa Joe facing Brock Lesnar. And one thing that he was being real disrespectful about Roman Reigns. He was like, "Yeah, to me, you're not Samoa Joe. To me, you're just Joe." Basically, he was shitting on him because he's Samoa Joe's considered like one of those bastard Samoans or whatever. That he doesn't have the right to name himself Samoa Joe or some shit. So, because like he's not part of that extended family, so like they don't recognize.
What kind of elitism bullshit is that?
So they don't recognize him. Right. That was so foul. Like Roman, people talk about how like Roman Reigns is a face. That was some heel shit right there. That was fucked up.
I love that they just don't give a fuck anymore. They're like, you know what? Fine, we're gonna push you as a face. We're gonna push you as make you a heel. It's beautiful.
God damn it. But
yeah, he has the face push and the heel persona. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it is brilliant. But after that, Joe wasn't having it, and he ended up fighting Roman Reigns, but eventually Roman Reigns got the upper hand. As usual, whatever. Fucking hell. But of course, after that, it was announced that they would have a match later in the night.
Of course.
Hardys faced Luke Gallows and Anderson. The Hardys ended up winning that match. There was a vignette with Goldust again. What's his name? Elias Samson was playing his music, trying to talk shit about Evansville. But of course, Finn Balor came out to a pop and interrupted Elias's set. Finn Balor actually ended up facing Bo Dallas, which was not a bad match. Bo Dallas was real aggressive in it, but of course it's Finn Balor, so he took the W on that one. After that, I think they were talking about the WWE 2K18 trailer. Which I guess is some news now, because it was announced earlier in the day that Seth Rollins would be the cover star for WWE 2K18.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, unless I get a demo for that game, I'm not buying it. Like, I need to stop wasting my goddamn money on these games, because the last one was some trash. Complete trash. It was garbage.
Garbage.
It was straight garbaggio. It was basura. It was disgusting. Yeah, yo, that thing was
trash.
I think I played it for like a week, and I was like, "Yeah, I got to get this out of here." Because like I was mad. They had a what was it? A My Career mode, which was kind of like a story type thing going on. You're supposed to be a rising star, and you're supposed to like. Do certain things to like elevate your game and eventually boost it up, and you go nowhere. The system to like gain like fans and all that stuff is so glitchy and gross. Like you go nowhere. Like at some point you go stagnant in fan support, even though you're doing everything right, and then eventually you start losing fans. And then eventually you're basically nowhere at all. Nothing. You do.
Damn.
So, like, it's like a complete waste of time just going in circles. You could spend, like, a whole year in my career mode and not see a freaking number one contendership.
The progress is gone.
None.
It's no progress.
So bad. But, anyway, yeah, they were,
the game.
Yeah, they were talking some other shit, on Raw. They brought up the Money in the Bank controversy. I think Kurt Angle was talking about Money in the Bank. So I guess it was that big of a deal, that women's Money in the Bank match, that even Raw was telling Raw had to address that shit.
Nia Jax was talking some shit about Ellsworth on Twitter.
Yo, she was. Yo. Oh, man. She was talking some real shit that, like, it almost didn't feel like it was kayfabe. Like, she legitimately.
I don't know why Ellsworth was trying to talk back. She'd kill his ass.
No, hell no. But besides that, yeah, Angle was talking his shit. Corey Graves, of course, he's that guy who's who gets the scoop and is nosy and shit. He had wished Kurt Angle happy Father's Day and all this other crazy shit. Enzo and Cass came in, Angle confronted Enzo. There was another piece of news that I was gonna say, but of course it was on Raw also. Enzo straight up went on Twitter and he was like, "Yeah, Mayweather is gonna beat the shit out of Conor McGregor." Basically,
Conor McGregor.
Like, Conor McGregor better watch his mouth. Oh, that shit was funny. But, but he addressed them about that, and Cass said he wasn't worried about it. And they were basically talking about, like, the whole whodunit thing, where, like, they're still trying to figure out who beat both of them up. Of course, they mentioned Big Show and The Revival. After that, Seth Rollins came out, and he was talking some shit with Bray Wyatt on the Titantron. I didn't really care about too much. Finn Balor was backstage, and you know how earlier he interrupted Elias Sampson? Well, Elias Sampson was not having that shit, and he got snuck while he was doing an interview. So, after that,
Elias Sampson is a guy I never really knew existed until he showed up on Raw.
Really?
Because, like,
I mean, I had heard of him, but I still don't think I've ever seen a match with him.
Yo,
I've heard more about him since he's been on Raw than he was when he was on
NXT.
Okay,
he was on NXT for a while, and, like, yeah, people hated him because, of course, they hated that Drifter music bullshit. And he had a few matches, and there was one match, there was, like, a Loser Leaves NXT. Whoa! Loser Leaves NXT match between him and Cassius Ohno, which he lost, and that's how he ended up on Raw later. Well, actually, he actually had one more match on NXT in a mask before they revealed
who Oh, was yeah, really. Yeah, he did.
And they dragged his ass out, and it was over. But after that, Akira Tozawa faced TJP in a match. Of course, Akira won. They're still trying to recruit him for the Titus brand and all that shit. They said that he's real close to signing him and that he will become the next WWE Cruiserweight champion. That would be funny, though, if he ended up signing with the Titus brand and became the champ. For some reason, the Titus brand reminds me of Stokely Hathaway for some reason. I don't know why.
The Titus brand people are starting to like?
Oh, yeah.
I like the idea. I mean, and at least it gives Apollo Crews something. It's actually helped Kalisto a little bit, too.
Yeah, it's helped them a little bit.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to have guys you're not doing much with, at least hook them up and make them look like they're having fun.
Yeah. And then after that, R-Truth had his whole vignette. Goldust, so basically it's going to be Goldust versus R-Truth next week, finally. after all these vignettes and back and forths and whatnot. After that, Curtis Axel was trying to console Bo Dallas on taking yet another L when they were interrupted by The Miz. The Miz basically said, yeah, I saw you guys on when we were filming the movie, I think it was Marine 5, and yeah. You guys were dope as hell, all this bullshit's beneath you, but if you align with me, I can get you to a level where you don't have to be basically jobbers anymore or whatever, some bullshit like that. But they
hashtag give Miz a clue, right?
Yeah,
Miz,
man.
Give Miz an entourage.
Yeah, man. So yeah, that's dope. That's some dope shit.
It's kind of like one of the guys from Entourage works out.
Yeah. And then after that, there was Reigns versus Samoa Joe, which was a dope match, but it ended up being rudely interrupted when the big screen had showed an ambulance backing up, and out of that ambulance comes a returning Braun Strowman. So he gets out and walks out, and Samoa Joe used the distraction to put Reigns to sleep. Strowman makes it to the ring, picks Roman Reigns up and slams his ass, and challenges him to a match at Great Balls of Fire. Great Balls of Fire. Great Balls of Fire.
Bad blood.
Yeah.
It's called bad blood.
Yeah. And then after that, Ms. TV was with had a guest with Maurice. The Miz was basically trying to apologize for everything that was going on. He fixed the grandfather clock that he broke, and he eventually got in her good graces until Dean Ambrose came up. He dodged one of Dean Ambrose's splashes of champagne or whatever, and it got in Maurice's face. And so she left. And as she was gone and she left, and Dean Ambrose was trying to take out The Miz, the two bears that were in the ring decide to surround Dean Ambrose and beat his ass, and it ends up being revealed to be Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. So now they are officially part of The Miz's entourage. So now he has a couple of goons to follow him around.
I have a question.
So the former NXT champion is now a slave to
the former NXT champion and a former Intercontinental champion.
Miz?
Hey, at least they have
son of Mr. Perfect?
So is Dean Ambrose trying to break Breeze and Miz up? Is that what's happening?
I don't know.
Because if he is he a face?
I don't think it is. He's just trying to just cause trouble for him in general. I don't know.
Because that's some hater ass shit to do.
Yeah, it is some hating ass shit. I ain't gonna lie.
There's always some hating ass shit doing.
Okay, I just hung up on Mofo because I'm an asshole. Psych. But for real, I'm about to add him to the call.
Okay.
Let's see if he'll actually answer.
You know he is. I wonder what he's going to talk about.
Probably going to talk about the pay-per-view.
Probably.
Yeah, and introducing Mofo Magic.
Dude. Oh, wow. I get introductions now. All
right. Yeah, that's right.
He did it.
Yeah. Amen.
I miss those days. What are you going to talk about?
We were still going through Raw.
Yeah,
we talked about the Money in the Bank. You got any thoughts on that? The women's ladder match that ended with a guy.
I've actually heard that a lot of people didn't like it. I thought it was actually really smart because if you didn't do like to me, it made sense. Like,
how does everything? How does it make sense to just let's imagine for a second? They do a lot of video package for this. So you had let's say you actually did have women give WWE a try because of the video package. Why would they keep watching after this?
Because, one, now Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon are on Twitter saying, we're going to do something about it on Tuesday.
But that would say that the casual fan would actually follow them on Twitter. I'm talking They made a big deal about this in the mainstream. So if you have people who've never watched WWE, don't follow them on Twitter, watch this. Wouldn't that just tell them never to watch WWE again?
Wait. Who never watches WWE but has the network?
Well, they
put this on pay-per-view, or they went over and saw it with their friends. I'm saying this from a mainstream perspective. I don't, because we didn't bring this up.
I've seen some people that would go over their friends' house and watch it. Actually, pay for it.
Covered in mainstream press or like geek press by people who don't normally cover it. So if those people aren't watching WWE, so let's say this. What's the alternative that makes them watch it? Because there is, you got, the thing is about this is that you gotta, at the end of the day, it's a, those people who don't watch WWE, the reason they don't watch it is because it's a fake fight. They're not gonna look at the fake fight and say, oh, now to watch it because Charlotte's got the briefcase. They have no idea who Charlotte is. Like, and if they come through, what's gonna happen? Oh, Charlotte has a briefcase and she can cash in a title shot at any time, so, but the person's gonna know it's coming. At least with Ellsworth, there's a storyline there. Most people who don't watch wrestling watch it more for the story than for the match. You can build a story to a match. If a match can build to a story to build to another match, that's great. But if you build a match and the match is all that happens and the match ends and that and the story's over, you've told nothing. Then somebody can say, "Oh, well, they just saw that. Then they know the result." But at least this way, they had a story. Now,
but
Carmella's
the story
got
ruined the match, and then the story ruined the next three matches on the pay per view.
They're showing the next showing the match Tuesday anyway. The thing is that at least this way. So now you have so let's say for instance, I'm understanding where people are upset about it. I just don't see. I think that there's no really the alternative. I don't see how that creates more viewers. I'm not getting this idea where they were down to 2 million viewers. 2 million viewers.
Yeah, by showing they trying to figure out how to have more viewers.
Right, but they're showing matches. They've been showing matches. Like they've been having these great matches and Shinsuke versus so and so, and six man matches and six women matches and six person matches and tag teams and one-on-ones. They've been showing matches. Like, the matches
so basically,
aren't...
The problem is that no matter what WWE does, they're not going to get more ratings. It's essentially the problem here.
They're not going to get more ratings as long as they show things that aren't getting ratings. And unfortunately...
Actually, spoiler alert. SmackDown actually did get a little boost in ratings.
Did it get a boost?
It did get a boost.
But the it's WWE, so the boost is going to go away in 2 weeks, probably, right?
If they don't build on it, absolutely. If they don't build
and
on
WWE
it, but
doesn't build on these boosts anyway. So,
but they've been doing a lot of different stuff. I mean, we got to give them some credit. The Samoa Joe thing that they've been doing with him is amazing. They're finally letting Roman talk better.
Down to the problem is you're only doing a couple of interesting things is not enough to sustain an entire show.
No. They have a long way to go.
Yeah,
they absolutely
that's one of my problems. Like, I could buy the Money in the Bank thing build into something, but I can't buy this Money in the Bank thing being important or also being on a pay-per-view that was, at the end of the day, complete trash because they sold out almost their entire undercard for no apparent reason. Everything became a story, and you can't do a pay-per-view where everything is essentially a story.
Let's say I liked one ending. That Usos ending's bullshit. let's not say like, oh hey, they did a great job all night. The Usos ending was bullshit.
Yep.
The Baron Corbin thing was bullshit.
Whoa!
I don't like Baron Corbin, but that match at least had an ending. That was great from scenario.
I've ruined that guy multiple times with Baron Corbin, so I still think they ruined him. Jinder Mahal they literally had the same exact finish 2 months ago.
Yeah, I went over that already too. That's ridiculous.
So they had a lot go wrong on Sunday with the finishes. I absolutely agree there, but I said this a couple weeks ago. I don't know how you fix it. I don't know how you fix it. I am at a loss for words with how you fix WWE. Because you're either going to alienate a certain group of people that aren't going to give your new progress time, or you're going to have to basically cater to a crowd that had been dwindling and that you've been doing the same thing for the last.
I do think that you can compromise. I think my biggest problem with the ending to the women's and Money in the Bank match is I wouldn't have been pissed off if this was the second time, like the second women's Money in the Bank match. Like, that would have been fine to me, but I just figured your first time out, you're making a big deal about this, you're going to do video packages, you're selling this as the women's revolution. But let's be honest, in the last 2 years, I mean the last 2 months, the WWE women's revolution has been complete crap.
I've heard that. My thing is that in wrestling, I've seen enough in a time frame where the first I made a big deal now, I've never seen that before. Like, the first Royal Rumble was won by Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
Does anybody really, like, sit there and say, oh, a guy who's a mid-carder won the title, so it means you can rebuild it. Like, it's something that I can understand why people are upset now, but being upset about it, I don't see this in 3 years. If they do it right, that's going to make a big difference.
I think it's going to be weird when you see this in 3 years, and when they're showing the video package for that match, they're probably going to completely ignore the Ellsworth thing because that's way too much of a story.
Chris Benoit, they've gotten rid of everything before. So, I mean, Billy Gunn never wanted to get the ring, if you believe
but
that.
But we're also crazy. In the era of WWE where they make this thing about how important making history is. When they did the first Royal Rumble, hell, the first Survivor Series, I don't think they ever really thought much about history. They were just thinking about trying to get people to watch WWE.
100%, in my opinion, on Stephanie McMahon. Like, and that's one of her flaws. That is one of her biggest flaws. She reminds you, and I'm going to say the words, and she's not exactly like her because she knows how to run a business, but she reminds me so much of Dixie Carter when it comes to the hyperbole, and we're doing the greatest thing on earth, and just you look at her and you're like, did you guys, this is way off topic, but did you guys ever hear the story about Batista and when he went to Stephanie and Triple H a couple years ago? So,
no.
He went to Stephanie and Triple H. He went to them and he said, hey, I'm doing this movie, Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it's going to be a pretty big deal. Maybe you should bring me back for SummerSlam to, you know, promote the movie and it'll bring some fans in. They told him, we don't know if it's going to be a big hit.
They told him they weren't sure that a Marvel Comics movie was going to be a big hit.
Yeah. They weren't sure if the movie was bomb or not.
They were still mad about Triple H and Blade 3. Is that what happened?
He was. That's probably why. Yeah, they were probably like, hell no.
And this baby all the way in the wind column of the earth.
Hello? What happened to him? Is he still here?
I don't know. They freeze up. You there, Doomsday?
I hear something in the background. But, Mofo, you here? Someone's here.
Before the game tonight, did not admit that.
Yeah, I hear something.
What is going on?
Oh,
everybody's background noise is messing up. I wonder if that's both.
There'll be a couple of right-handers out there tonight. For the Indians, his name is Carlos Carrasco. He's now 30 years of age. He comes in his record 17.
This is really interesting.
And Carrasco has won 5 of his last 6 decisions. And the Orioles, Kevin Gausman.
I knew it was baseball.
All right. Well, we can't have that background. Okay. Is he back?
Mofo, you there?
Mofo?
It's like we're looking for him, and like he was with the group, but somehow he got snatched up. We don't know where he went.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and then got replaced with a TV recording. Yeah.
And we are not splitting up because that's how people die.
Yeah, man. R.I.P.
All right, well he's gone. You want to go talk about SmackDown Doomsday?
We're still talking about Raw. Raw is long as hell.
Oh, okay.
We're still on Raw.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
I forgot there's a big angle at the end of the show.
Anyway,
That's right. Go ahead.
Titus Brand faced Sheamus and Cesaro. They lost, of course. What else happened? Sasha Banks faced Nia Jax. Nia Jax won by DQ because everybody came out. Everybody was fighting everybody in the women's division. Bayley actually was like one of the last ones to come out, and she was going ham on everybody. And but of course, Nia Jax was still beating up mad people and all that shit. But eventually, the good guys got the upper hand on that one. And to actually end the night, it was the whole whodunit with Enzo and Cass. So this was actually pretty good. Kurt Angle brought out the Revival and the Big Show. Of course, all those guys denied it and walked out. They were like, yeah, I'm not dealing with this shit. Enzo and Cass still, of course, Cass was still blaming Big Show. He said it was Big Show, and he claimed that he had knots in his, he had a huge, like, knot the size of a baseball in his head that got medical attention from the medical team, until Corey Graves comes out, and he's like, yeah, I don't know about all that, like, not our medical team. And right. I don't think the EMTs either. And plus, I got footage of you staging your attack.
He's like, no, it could have been the ambulance. Ambulance.
So Cass gave this long spiel about how he's sick and tired of Enzo in his mouth and holding him back. Mm-hmm. And all that shit.
Which all like, could be true.
Which, yeah, basically that I'm the star. I don't deserve this. We're done. And then he boots the shit out of Enzo.
Yes, he did.
Face.
With tears in his eyes.
Enzo's a great actor. That dude, he had that single tear like you see in movies and shit.
It literally was one tear. You're one crying, tear. Only make that one tear.
Perfect. That was a perfect tear. It was beautiful. Damn, that was a great segment to end the night though. At Cass, man, I knew we all knew
it was
Cass,
coming,
but the execution was still great. You know, I loved it. So yeah,
that come was back. Sorry, guys, but
oh yeah, we were just. Whoa, okay.
Yeah. No, cool. I'm sorry, because I was talking about the Marvel thing. No, I was just going to reiterate what you guys said is hit the nail on the head. That Cass Enzo segment.
Yeah. That shit was awesome. That shit was
Do you
fantastic.
Think everything that Cass said was true about him being held back?
Yes.
My problem is this, and this is actually all I could think of when he said, I said, yeah, that's true, but weren't you eliminated first in that 4-way Universal title match?
Yeah.
Sorry. Get it? Like you went back.
I mean,
a couple
no.
Years.
If you want to bring it into perspective, maybe the aura, Enzo's aura, like around him, probably jinxed him.
Well, I know this is like old school and everything like that. I know everybody knows the angle, but most people don't remember that the Marty Shawn split was like about to happen. And ironically enough, they did the same thing with Rick and Scott Steiner too. If you want to look at Nitro's on the network before Rick or Scott went to the NWO.
Yeah, like, I remember that.
Like, Marty was fucking up. On shit. Like, Shawn Michaels had a match with Ric Flair that he should have won, and Marty tried to get involved and hit Shawn by mistake. And that's when Marty was like, you know, hey man, look, I know I've been fucking up, but we can get through this. Like, it was more, I wish they had built these guys up more, like at the title match, like these guys, like Enzo did something stupid or anything, but I mean, Enzo just, but Cass's promo, you know, even if like nitpicking it like that, it was still a good promo, because you're like, yeah, I mean, I can see that.
Yeah, you know, we can all see, and like, they didn't even give him a tag team title run, they could have gave him at least one. See, they didn't. No, they got, they never won anything together.
See, but it makes it, that makes it all the more important just for the fact that they've tried and failed all these times.
In two different places.
Two different, yeah.
And they couldn't even do it.
They couldn't even
trash.
Do it. And then you look back at, but seriously, if you really do look back at every single one of them, it's because of Enzo. Every single one. So it made sense.
So wait a sec. So are the Revival up there for like catering or?
The Revival got one of them because one of them broke his jaw, and he's had his jaw wired shut. But they returned. They've been around, lingering backstage. Since
I have a question for you guys. Sorry to interrupt you, dude.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But I got a question for you guys. I just want your opinion on something. On two things, actually. One, I find this annoying because I do watch the Attitude Era shows and everything like that. And there's one thing that I do think that I like that they didn't do back then that they do now that kind of gets on my nerves. If you're not wrestling, why the fuck are you wearing wrestling gear?
It's a WWE mandate thing that makes that.
They're wrestling like, don't you know, like when the show is over and then they gotta wrestle like some weird ass dark match after the show is over.
If you go to any indie show, Westside's been to a couple PWG shows. We've been to ROH shows. When dudes are around in the back after they've done wrestling, you might see them with their shirt off and and some jeans or something. But you don't fucking see Kenny King walking around in his fucking shorts and boots, chilling.
No, I was a backstage at a PWG promo thing, and the only everybody in the backstage, Scorpio Sky, because I was sitting next to them, they were all in regular clothes, just watching the promos get filmed.
Right, like
and
I just
lounging on the chairs that the place had.
Some people like to get dressed. Some people just be like, "Eh, I'll change."
My understanding is the script is always changing, so they want all the wrestlers to be prepared just in case. That's the only reason.
Now, do you guys think that it would make for better television if they stopped doing that?
I think it would be better television if they actually had more faith in their wrestlers to cut their own promos. But that would mean they would have to cut down on scripting, so who knows what's going on.
That's true too. It's
but
a domino.
Sometimes they be wearing the wrist tape.
I don't get the wrist
promo.
Tape. I can buy wearing the tights just in case.
But maybe that's a requirement that they have to do. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Like Night Roman guys meet. Go ahead.
They don't let the guys leave if they have nothing to do. So who knows?
Yeah. That's
how Tyler Breeze got in trouble.
Oh yeah,
if I'm like, yo, if I'm done my match, I'm gone. but they like, no, you gotta stay.
You gotta
stay. I'm done. When I'm done, do you get paid by the hour if you're a wrestler? Apparently not.
I didn't work for WWE.
Not Baron Corbin.
I'll tell you this: you better not let Al Snow hear you say that.
Like,
and you know that means he got a job for us. Be lurking.
Yeah, he got a job. He ain't got no job. Well, no, he got a job. Is TNA still open?
No, TNA fired like everyone.
Everybody's
like the only people there: Jeff Jarrett, Dutch Mantel, and Moose.
Yeah, because I heard. Who left recently? I think Al Snow and like
all those.
And Crazy Steve
and,
was at the
Helm.
They still got their grand championship. Yeah. He still got the grand championship, I believe. Moose does.
Moose, yeah.
And Lashley, because you know they both look alike.
It don't matter. It's GFW.
Black
like everybody except for...
They never was. And I want you to be like, hey, GFW just got away, or they just went out of business. Okay, they made them belt to make people think GFW was... It never was.
what's the line Vince McMahon said?
That's it.
It was me all along, damn it. It was me all along.
That's it. It was Austin. Oh, son of a bitch. like they just got fed up. Oh, no.
Are we going to get to SmackDown? Because we got some important news to talk about, too, coming up.
Yeah, we got to move on to some SmackDown stuff.
Oh, yeah, man, I got that shit.
It's quiet. That's why I was like, I keep thinking we're disconnected.
No, I'm always connected. Like I stay, I got connects, man. If you want weed, if you want prescription drugs,
we want SmackDown results.
yo, I could even get you some moonshine.
What?
Don't ask.
Okay.
There's no reason to tell you.
No.
No,
hey. I'm serious, though. I got two connects for that shit.
Wow. Hey,
not my business.
Anyway. Yeah. So SmackDown happened. Yeah, of course, they highlighted all the shit that went down with the Miss Money in the Bank shit. Big E beat Jimmy Uso after the New Day mocked the Usos for leaving. Shinsuke beat Dolph Ziggler, of course, with that nice Kinshasa.
God damn it.
Yeah. Kevin Owens came out to issue a new Face of America challenge for the U.S. title to any Dayton resident. Well, of course, AJ Styles came out, but he was like, yeah, you're not a Dayton resident. But Chad Gable came out, and he said, yeah, I just moved to Dayton this morning. and he gave some address. I think he gave some address that's like a university address or something like that. But, of course, Kevin Owens ended up winning that match. Hype Bros are backstage. Daniel Bryan said basically the only way they can get their title shot is if they beat the Usos in a non-title match. Which I still think is bullshit because they won a match to become number one contenders. Zack Ryder gets injured, but they still have to beat the champs of all people in order to get that title match back. Like
this is what we talked about earlier when creative had long
back.
Yo, like, come on. Like, they really made them jump through hoops, man.
It's four of us on this phone, and I'm give us 2 minutes, and I'm sure one of us can come up with a better idea than that. Professional wrestling in a writer capacity in our lives. Give us 2 minutes.
What wrestling shouldn't even be that hard to write for? You let the guys cut the promos themselves. You just tell them where you're going to go with it.
Right, that's their job.
I mean, come on.
Like, let them do their job. And this is like, I got to do this. This is lame.
You couldn't even come up with, well, they won the number one contender shot a couple months ago. Like, even that's more interesting than, well, you got to have another match. Like, if you were at your job, your boss promised you a raise, but then you were out sick for 6 months, and you come back, and he goes, I know you were supposed to get a raise, but can you do that report again?
What?
Jesus. But,
WWE is like 50%, is like 70% filler material. Let's be honest.
Oh, God, yeah.
They've been doing this for so long. This ain't new. This is old. They still do it, and people still watch. NXT is cool.
Did you see NXT? Did you guys go on Friday?
Go to what?
Did you guys? He was in town.
What?
NXT was in town on Friday. This Friday just passed.
Really, I had no idea.
Oh wow! There was
there was no advertisement for that whatsoever that I heard of.
Fucking book feed. It was all good. Jay missed like 400 people. Should like I'm being generous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody.
Because I would have like if heard about that, I would. So where was it?
It was in Aberdeen.
It was in Aberdeen Proving Grounds. Aberdeen Proving Grounds, yeah. The military area.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was in Bel Air last time. That's where. That's the one I went to. Like I think it was. What was it last year? Yeah.
Shit. This one might have been in Bel Air. I honestly had no desire to go. But my Facebook feed just kept popping it up, and I was like,
"I mean, I would go, but then I'd be by myself again. Then, yeah, that shit sucks. Whatever. It's whatever. Anyway, SmackDown.
He's over.
Let's continue with SmackDown. Daniel Bryan. He had all five women and James Ellsworth. In the ring for the whole discussion on what to do with the Money in the Bank briefcase and the controversy that surrounded the actual match that happened. He basically dished out all types of points. Yes, it's a no DQ. Interference is allowed, but we've never had this type of shit happen where
somebody actually climbs and takes it, you know, off of the ring and tosses it to somebody. And eventually he concluded that, yeah, we got to restart this whole thing.
I have something to say. I think if this, they should enter this into the next time they ever do this as a contract. If someone, not in the match, gets the pulls the case down and hands it to someone, the match becomes first fall to a finish. Let's just call it like that. If you pin the guy who has the case, it's over. Just that's the easiest
shouldn't
way
even
to
have,
deal with that.
Shouldn't even have happened. Like, how many Money in the Banks have they done? And, like, this one was just... Never mind, I already said my piece.
I'm waiting for the day. I'm still waiting for the day that there's a tag team ladder match, and someone from each team, one person from each team grabs one of the belts.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yo.
Like, then I never what? Think that. I always thought that would be the coolest angle to how would they figure this shit out.
Oh, they because become that's a new... Whoever holds the two belts become a new tag team.
Bam. Yeah, by law, yeah. They're the new tag team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get,
and then they're going to be like,
Uso,
well,
and you get one New Day guy.
Well, you can always give one belt to the other team, and they could be the complete tag team. They're going to be like, no, hell no.
And the one New Day guy, that's my
just
new
be
tag
like, team. Well, if you don't want to do that, you guys are the new tag team champions. Sorry.
That's some Lethal Lottery shit. I want that to happen now.
Or like Kane and Daniel Bryan. They get along somehow.
Yeah. Get fucking or, Fandango or, and fucking whoever else.
Well, it kind of reminds you of towards the dying day of WCW. Didn't like Sean O'Hare and Sean Stasiak they switched tag team partners?
Yes,
like Jindrak with O'Hare
was,
apparently.
Yeah,
and then
it was
all of a sudden Palumbo.
Palumbo, yeah, that
out of beautiful. Nowhere. And I don't know how to say this. I know people are going to disagree with me on this. But I feel like James Ellsworth isn't dorky enough. Like, one, he has way too much, tried to put way too much bass in his voice. Like, I want him to be, like, the white guy who doesn't get it. Like, he has the one leg rolled up all the time, like LL Cool J in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like,
the baggy hoodie and sweats.
Super shit, like the 5XLs. Like, that's what he should be wearing. Like, the dude, he comes out with shades all the time. Like, this dude has no idea that he's in the hood right now. And he just thinks he's the shit.
Have you seen
his every time he turns something from Carmella, she just pushes him away.
Something. That shit was just so huge. But he might still help her win the match by grabbing the briefcase, just dropping it to her. God damn it. I can't believe that shit.
But yeah.
Women can't get nothing without the men, eh?
Yeah, I guess so. But, Next
I saw clips of this. I'll say that Carmella is a pretty decent actress.
Yeah. But yeah, next week. Next
sure.
week. Another Money in the Bank next week.
I'm trying to debate whether or not to break my don't watch WWE on television rule and actually watch SmackDown just to watch that.
See, that's what they, I think that's their that was their whole thing. They
that
wanted
was to their intent.
Let's do the card just in case you're sitting on the fence. All right, so we got the Money in the Bank women's ladder match. Okay, who wrestled this week? Big E versus Jimmy? Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be Jimmy.
Oh, Kevin, and also Kevin Owens versus Chad Gable. Shinsuke versus Dolph Ziggler.
I'm getting the card. So that means Jimmy has to wrestle Kofi Kingston next week. Kevin Owens is going to run away from AJ Styles, but he'll face Jason Jordan next week, or Ty Dillinger. Dolph Ziggler will face Shinsuke, but now Dolph Ziggler's going to win. And
yes.
I figured out everything. And let's see how close I am to the card.
And maybe
Jinder
Mahal has a match. Maybe Jinder Mahal has a match.
Fast forward to Money in the Bank.
And maybe Jinder Mahal. Because Jinder Mahal had a match, too, this week. It was in the main event. He beat Luke Harper, who hasn't been around forever. And, of course,
Harper is a guy they were building and then cut him from under. What is with WWE doing a good job with a guy and then deciding, nope, at the last minute?
I don't know. It's WWE. It's
like something backstage happened, and then he was, but it's not worth it.
Some stuff is written for you. Like, Bray Wyatt's the champion. Randy Orton's the number one contender. Luke Harper's upset, and then the number one contender, Battle Royal. I know. We'll use it for AJ. Like, nowhere along the lines that makes sense to anybody. But yeah. Whatever. Who knows? Who knows? Fuck this shit.
WWE, where things don't have to make sense.
Ever.
Is it news time?
Yep.
Wait, is SmackDown done?
Yeah, SmackDown is done.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a little bit of news, so I'm going to kick it off, all right?
All right.
All right, first off, one of the big news things coming out of New Japan, they did their Kazuni Road Show. The six-man tag title match was fine. But we got the G1 Climax competitor. No block yet, but here's the list.
Yes.
Starting with the guys we got from Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Kenny Omega, last year's winners, are in. From Los Ingobernables de Japón, we have Evil, Sanada, and Tetsuya Naito again. Then we have representing Chaos. Of course, we got Kazuchika Okada, the champion, but also Hiroki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Toriano, who will not win, but will ruin it for everyone. Alright, then we got representing the regular New Japan roster. We'll start with one of the guys, we'll start with the Intercontinental Champion, the ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and then making his G1 Climax debut, getting a great reaction from the fans, one-time NXT jobber turned Japan Buzz Star Juice Robinson.
Juice?
I heard it.
All right.
Like, I heard pop, too. They had the video on YouTube, and I heard it. And I was like, who is this for? And it was like, for Juice Robinson? I was like, well,
they fucking love Robinson in Japan. All right, we got Michael Elgin making his return after a year off where he gave his spot to Tenzin. Satoshi Kojima is back in his last year. Yuji Nagata, this will be his ninth tournament in 19 years. This is his last one. But also, making his return to New Japan, Kota Ibushi is
the Golden Star.
So, lots of people pushing for Omega Ibushi. And then we also got two guys from Suzuki-Gun, Minoru Suzuki making his return. But also, Zachy Three Belts, Zack Sabre Jr. is in it. So, that is the official roster for the G1 Climax. But I'm not done talking about tournaments, because we need to talk about the May West Classic. I'm sorry, the May Young Classic. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have four official names, according to WWE. Official. I got four official names and a bunch of other possibles. First off, we have Sarah Logan, the former Mary Dobson, obviously.
Right.
We have Lacey Evans, who's currently on TV occasionally, or NXT. We have official confirmation on the first ever Progress Women's Champion and one of the stars of Stardom, Toni Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And also CMLL women's wrestler, who apparently was a sight gag in an episode of Parks and Recreation, which I did not know until Lucha Twitter pointed this shit out to me. The episode where Leslie and Chris Traeger visit Councilman Jam's house, and he has a calendar of women wrestlers, and there's a Lucha Libre picture. But Princess Shug Knight, who might be the oldest woman in the tournament at age 36, but we got a mass luchadora thing. Those four are official. Now, here's who is expected. We have Kimberly, who is now known as Abby Lake. She announced it today. The former Chikara Grand Champion is now Abby Lake of NXT. We have a Chinese signee, Zhao Zhe. We have, and here's some other names, Bianca Blair, Mary Kate, who wrestled as Rosie Lotala from TNA. A woman named Julia Ho, who was trained by Kendrick. She signed back in 2016. Danielle Kamala, who was trained by Rikishi and Gangrel and was signed in 2016.
Teneiro Mio from Brazil, who was signed in 2016. Victoria Gonzalez, daughter of an indie wrestler named Ricky Gonzalez, who also signed in 2016. These are possible names, but there is a rumor going around that WWE has reached out to former Straight Edge Society member Serena Deeb.
Oh, you missed one, too.
Oh, who did I miss?
It was rumored...
You missed one.
They slipped. They allegedly they said that Becky Lynch may have let it slip, but Shayna Baszler could also be part of it as well.
Wow.
The four horse.
Yeah, one of the four horsewomen of MMA.
Horsewoman? Oh, cool. Now, like if it was like a 26 person tournament, a 24 person tournament, sure they can probably crack down and find the best of the best of us. But since this is a 32 woman tournament, yeah, since it's 32, they're probably just going to grab any old body now. Like at this point, I see them grabbing the best and then some fillers.
They're gonna grab the best, like, and then they're gonna grab a whole bunch of NXT people.
They're going to miss the best women's wrestler in Mako Satomura, but I don't think she's going to be interested in this tournament. She has a company to run.
Well, she can do the first, two matches on the taping or something?
Yeah, maybe. But Mako Satomura not only runs her own company, she runs her own training studio, too. So she's way
too tournament back.
She
voted
best women's wrestler in Japan, 2 years ago. Her and Io Shirai were considered the two best women's wrestlers in Japan. They got Io Shirai, though, so, you know.
Yeah.
They got one of them.
Yeah, they got one.
And they got Kairi Hojo, but they're going to not let her do her goddamn elbow drop.
Oh, they won't do that?
No.
Why?
They're not going to let the woman with the best elbow drop in wrestling do her elbow drop as a finisher. At least that's what I'm hearing.
Oh, that's probably because of the Velveteen Dream. Because
of Bayley.
No, I heard it's because of Bayley.
Because it's because of Bayley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bayley, who has one of the worst elbow drops in wrestling. If anybody has ever seen Kairi Hojo's elbow drop, that is a video game glitch. That thing is beautiful.
Yeah.
Is this happening in August or July? I can't remember.
It's happening at the end of August.
Okay, good. So they got plenty of time.
And and one last thing. We were talking about Omega versus Okada. I have the official star ratings for their second
match. I was about
match.
To say that one at some point. Yeah, go ahead.
It is not a 6-star match, but a 6.25 star.
Fuck
match.
Dave Meltzer. Fuck him.
Dave
just
Meltzer's
a little bit better.
People now.
Fuck that guy.
I love it
in the perfect match.
And he's still getting
I am not a Dave Meltzer guy. Yeah, I'm not a Dave Meltzer guy by any means, but the way he works fans is amazing.
Fuck Dave
amazing.
Meltzer.
He did this shit on purpose. Because if he had made it 5 stars, even if he made it 6 stars, you'd been like, okay. But even if he made it 7, you'd be like, okay, fuck you, Dave. But 6.25, like, it's just a little bit better. Like,
yeah, because he was like, man, I really like this match better than the other one, but I gave that one 6 stars. What do I do? 6.25. I'm waiting for that 7-star match now. That's going to be amazing.
Oh, shit.
Oh, AJ Styles and Nakamura better deliver at WrestleMania next year. 7 stars.
Oh, man.
The word is that I heard a statistic that he's done 64-60 matches in like thirds of a game for Japan.
5-star matches?
5 stars?
Yeah. Like, he's
yeah.
only given, like,
yeah, most of his
yeah, most of them are Japan.
Well, yeah,
I also heard this, and I was
kidding now.
He did not give 5 stars to Mike
it's
WrestleMania.
All Japan matches. No, he didn't.
Which match, Mojo?
The WrestleMania match from 25.
Shawn Michaels, Undertaker.
Either one, 25 and 26.
I think in that particular era, he gave, like, nobody 5 stars. Because I think there was, like, a 3 or 4 year stretch where no one was getting 5 stars.
Yeah. Like, he was not trying to do that joint.
Because I think New Japan only started to get in their 5-star match stuff. It might have been the same year as Shawn Michaels Taker, but it was the only one that year. Tanahashi Suzuki was, like, the start of the New Japan 5-star run stuff.
Resurgence,
But a lot of his 5-star matches basically went to, like, the classic All Japan stuff. Misawa, Kawada, who actually had the first 6-star match. And Kobashi, I think Akira Tao, and actually Manami Toyota has, I think, 4 or 5 5-star matches. I think she got most of hers in the second year too.
What?
Most of his 5-star stuff was like late '80s to early '90s.
Yeah.
I have a question. I don't know if you guys remember the name. Doomsday might be the best one for this. Anybody remember what ever happened to Scott Keith?
Hold up.
You guys remember Scott Keith?
Scott Keith. No. Hold up.
Who was that guy?
Writer.
He was a what?
He was a dirty writer, probably. He was a big-time dirty writer about 10 years ago. I kept getting... Scott Keith was one of the guys... He was a Meltzer. He was one of the start. He was one of the guys starting. I heard Scott Keith's name more than I heard Keller or Alvarez or any of those guys.
Yeah.
I only knew Meltzer and Scott Keith, and I never knew what happened to Scott Keith.
Like, there was Meltzer, looking it up.
Scott Keith, and Mike Johnson. Those are the three I remember.
Well, there's a... I don't know if this is the same guy. He is it the guy who runs Blog of Doom? Because there's a Scott Keith who runs the Blog of Doom. Well, he's still around, I guess. Wait. Yeah, he's still posted on his blog.
Yeah, he had star ratings, too. And, like, he used to, I don't remember what happened to that guy. Like, Meltzer, like, blew up.
The only thing I could think of is maybe he just stopped working for whatever Dirt Sheet, because he has his blog. It's been around for a few years.
I think what may have happened, I mean, there was a time where I think that when, after the invasion angle, a lot of people got out of wrestling and it went really to a down period. And then you had all those, remember the wrestling website booms? Oh, and then you had the wrestlers writing for them. So it was tougher to get traffic. And, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, I used to go to this one all the time. It was Lords of Pain.
I go to sometimes.
I used to go there all the time.
Mine was PW Insider, and then I stopped reading them. And now for wrestling news, I don't go anywhere. I listen to podcasts.
I actually go to Pro Wrestling Sheet with the Ryan Satin guy. I think that used to work for.
Yeah.
He's the guy who. Yeah, he used to work. Yeah, TMZ.
He's
with
W Insider, which is nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're beefing. That's always fun to see. I never understood this. In wrestling, it's the weirdest thing. Nobody likes nobody.
Yeah.
Like, no one likes anyone. Jim Cornette hates Eric Bischoff, who doesn't like Vince Russo, who doesn't like Jim Cornette, who doesn't like Vince Russo, who now is mad at Bruce Pitcher, who doesn't like Eric Bischoff. Why don't any of you have a common enemy? How do all four of you hate each other so much?
Jesus.
They all blame each other for the state of wrestling, it feels like.
That's the best part. God, that's the best. If it weren't for this guy.
If it weren't for this guy, we'd still be making that paper.
Look.
Exactly.
The only person I blame for wrestling are the people in charge. It's their fault if the ratings aren't good.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'd say the person who I love listening to, I love listening to Conan, I love listening to Raven. Because that dude just talks. Talks. And talks. Raven, he's like a genius. Like, he's
He's a Mensa member.
Right, but the funny thing is, he's the quirky, nerdy guy at your office remember the Dane Cook joke, you're nice to him because you're afraid that one day he's going to fucking come in with a Uzi and shoot everybody?
Yeah.
That Raven is. But, like, it's just, he's fun to listen to. He's a guy, when he tells stories, he's just, like, got these weird jokes and you don't know whether to laugh or not, but he's just fun to listen to. So... it's fun. I like listening to Raven. I like listening to Conan, too. Conan's hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Let's continue on with some more news. What else? I think you're gonna enjoy this one. Guess who is the play-by-play man for the McGregor-Mayweather fight?
I heard about this one. It's Mauro Ranallo, right?
Yeah. Yo, that dude bounced back quick, because, like, he's doing commentary for Bellator now, and now he's doing this shit, a high-profile fight.
I'm pretty sure he's going to take over the Access New Japan stuff when Jim Ross leaves.
Yo, wow.
Shit, yeah, he's
all over. Because Jim Ross is working for both companies right now, which is weird as fuck to me.
And it's good, and it's good for Mauro, because, like, now he's in a position where he's doing important commentary, but it's not a big workload for him. Like, that it doesn't, like, fuck him up, you know? So, good on him, man.
This is my thing about the Mauro thing. Look, what happened to him sucked, and JBL's a dick, and nobody's ever said he wasn't a dick.
Yeah.
And enough people in the business have said he's a dick to know that JBL's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is that in wrestling, like, there's so many fucking stories of bullies. Like, this was gonna happen to him. And it sucks that it did.
Yeah.
But I really, really hope people kind of peel. It's almost like the NFL bullying thing. I think I look at it like this. If we start to pull back the curtain of the WWE locker room, I don't think we'd be happy with anything we saw.
Yeah.
Like, I think that bullying that he endured is just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 'cause I've heard stories of what people have done. But, oh god, the 80s wrestlers. Shit. Fucking A. Like, remember the plane ride from hell? They cut off Michael Hayes' ponytail.
That's fucked up.
Like, they wrestlers are some fucked up people, which, for you to dress up in your underwear and go fight in front of 15,000 people, you do gotta be a little bit messed up in the head, but.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I'm glad he's out. I'm happy for him. That he's out of it, because that's the best thing for him right now. Yeah. And also, what do you guys think about that fight anyway?
Yeah, it is pure sports entertainment. It's going to be fantastic. Like McGregor's going to get his ass kicked, but it's going to be fun to watch. Just for the environment.
I think what he's going to do is McGregor's not going to be able to land a punch. Floyd's going to land his two or three punches per round, and that's it.
Yep.
He's going to make it look a little bit interesting, and that's all. What I want to see happen, is what Joe Rogan said could happen, even though I don't think it will, but I want to see this. I want to see Floyd frustrate McGregor so much that in round 10, Connor's like, fuck this, and just does a double leg takedown.
Joe Rogan's an ass, though, because he was real pretentious with it, though. Because, like, what did he say about that exactly? I forgot what it, I think he was...
He said there's nothing Floyd can do if Connor wants to take him down, which is true.
Yeah, which is true, but, like, what did he say about, like, McGregor? Like, you see, he said he made it seem like, yeah, he'd be, like, some type of hero for doing it or some shit. Like, no, just stop.
Yeah, I forgot that quote. I forgot. That. The latest thing I've heard him say, which is, and I mean the boxing analyst, well, I've heard he said that, you know, he said in so many words, Floyd's going to destroy McGregor. Kellerman and... For Freddie, Teddy Atlas is pissed. Teddy Atlas popped a blood vessel hearing about the fight happening, and he did. He said this is ridiculous for boxing. It's a shame on the sport. Blah blah blah. That he went Jim Cornette on us. The thing is that Max Kellerman, like, just kept it completely 100. They said, "What do you think the odds are that Connor has?" And Max Kellerman goes, "Zero." He has absolutely zero chance. There's 0% chance, and honestly, Floyd should be favored by $1 million. Like, there's no chance Conor McGregor has to ever win this fight.
You know what this reminds me of for some reason? But it's like a weird thing. Like, instead of a bum, like a retired bum, but this time it's an MMA fighter. This reminds me of one movie in the 90s. Can you guess it?
Great White
Hype. Yes, the great white hype.
Great White Hype, yes.
The Great White Hype with Damon Wayans. And I think it was Peter Berg?
Sam Jackson, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, yep. Just pure spectacle.
You had to go and dig a movie from like the mid-90s. What the hell?
That movie was no shit, though.
I'm surprised we all have seen that movie.
Yo, that movie was my shit, man. Damon Wayans had some hits in the 90s, man. That, Bulletproof.
Was Bulletproof that hit?
Hey, man.
I know he made a bunch of movies, but I don't remember which ones were actual hits.
I consider them hits.
I consider them hits because they were quality for me. Even Blank Man.
I'm about to look up the Damon Wayans. Okay, oh, Cheech Marin, John Lovitz, Peter Berg. It was directed by Reginald Hudlin. And Jamie Foxx in it, too.
Reginald Hudlin, who was infamous for his writing of... he had a run on Black Panther. His run was the one where Storm married Black Panther.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I think you might find this interesting, but I looked up reception on the Great White. You know what it says for box office?
What?
The movie was not a box office success. That's all it says.
Amen. Amen. Still my shit, though.
No, I'm not talking about that. I just thought that was funny. Usually they're a little more specific. It was like, no.
No.
All right, well, let me get the Wayans.
What's just bring that? The boot down. You remember the? Do you remember the guy who should have gotten the fight? Like the guy who were like he was ducking him and things like that, and they said he would give him a fight after. Yeah,
and he pulled
that
the gun.
Guy. Yeah, no. Well, that guy in real life actually wound up killing his wife and is now in jail.
Yeah, that's right. Because he was. What other movie was he in? He was on that movie, The Replacements and shit.
Which guy?
Yeah.
And the irony of that was that he was a prisoner in that movie. So now that nigga's in prison for killing his wife.
Yeah, I know that. Definitely was looking up actors in the movie, and I'm like, oh, that's what happened to him.
Yeah. All
right. So after he left Living Color, this is the list of movies, and some of these I do know for his. We have The Last Boy Scout. Oh,
that was dope.
Mo Money.
Oh, Mo Money was dope too.
Apparently, he was in Last Action Hero, but I can't remember.
Oh no, he had a cameo in it. I think it was like a red carpet thing. Like
yeah. Yeah. Well, then you definitely know this one, Blank Man.
Hell yeah.
Here's one I remember seeing in that line, Major Pain.
Oh, that was dope as hell. I love that shit.
This one I kind of liked, Celtic Pride.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, when they kidnapped his dumb ass.
Yes. Then The Great White Hype. 96 was his year. This was Celtic Pride, The Great White Hype, and then your movie, Bulletproof.
Bulletproof, yeah, with Adam Sandler. Yeah.
And then he kind of didn't do too many... movies until Bamboozled in 2000,
oh,
or at least movies that popped up.
Weird.
Huh?
Bamboozled was weird.
Bamboozled was kind of frustrating. It was very
that's the word for it, frustrating. Yeah, because like
it's like you know what Spike Lee wanted to do, but he felt like something was wrong in the production.
It felt like it was trying to come off too artsy. And
yeah, it's meaningful. Like you're hitting us too hard with the message, and you're being artsy. Come on, dude.
Like,
chill
come
the fuck.
On. Yeah, it was real pretentious. A little bit of it. I don't know.
Was that Spike Lee?
Yeah, that was Spike Lee.
Yeah, that's Spike Lee.
Yeah,
but that's a lot of Spike Lee's movies, to be honest
that's
with you.
A, yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm still surprised at just the fact that Damon Wayans hasn't aged a year since he started acting. His son keeps getting older. He is a fucking vampire.
Yo, and he's in Lethal Weapon now. Yo, like, I hate spinoffs and, like, and remakes and reboots and shit, but that Lethal Weapon TV show is my shit.
Well, it did really well.
Yo, that show is my shit, yo. Everything is balling about that goddamn show.
Alright. Anyway. Okay, the conversation went on back. Is there any way we'll go from Damon Wayans to wrestling?
That's what we do.
Wrestling?
That's what we do. But anyway, going back, congrats to Kurt Hawkins. I know by the time we had done the podcast last week, I think maybe a day later, he and his wife have a child now, first child. So he was able to enjoy his first Father's Day in time. So happy.
Oh, and a quick note, I noticed some weird-ass motherfuckers on Twitter during this Father's Day thing. Like, Kaz was talking about how great it was to be a dad. Somebody tweeted him and said, that's gay.
What?
Yeah, some guy tweeted at Kaz when he was talking about how good it was to be a father. He's like, that's gay. Like, look. And then and Kevin Owens was tweeted about Father's Day, and someone said, kayfabe's dead to him. Like, what?
Stop!
Who are these... No, I saw this shit. Like, who are these motherfuckers? You're the problem with wrestling.
Jesus. Yo, wrestling fans are dumb as shit, yo. I swear to you. See, that's why I hate reading comments on anything. They're dumb as hell. Yo.
And like, then those guys start to get dragged for the stupidest shit.
Most wrestling fans are the lowest common denominator. Not gonna lie.
Yep. But yeah. Congrats to Hawkins.
Finally,
got a win.
Yeah, that's right. He got a win. And then Shelton Benjamin, apparently he's in talks with WWE again. So he may possibly be joining SmackDown at some shape or form down the line if he doesn't get injured.
He hasn't wrestled in a long time.
Yeah, because he's been injured the whole time.
So hopefully he won't be injured again.
What else? Young Bucks. Apparently now the Young Bucks merch is available across the country and most Hot Topic stores. So independently, they're doing very, very well for themselves. It's funny because, like, you know how WWE has a deal with, like, Kmart and shit, right? But the Young Bucks have a deal with Hot Topic as a duo. That's pretty cool. Even though Hot Topic is not my thing, but
Hot Topic has really just become because it's a lot different now than it was when I was just out of high school. It is just they sell a lot of geek shirts, really.
Because like the last time I was at a Hot Topic was maybe seven, eight years ago. And
they were kind of in the process of changing. You go there now, there's still some kind of gothy alternative stuff, but a lot of it is like just regular kind of geek shirts. I got a Steven Universe shirt from there. Whenever Suicide Squad, any superhero movies, Guardians of the Galaxy, animations, they had a whole, I went to one, they had a whole wall of the Funko Pop figures. So, when I was in my late teens and went there, it was really hardcore goth industrial metal, but now not so much. So, you know, if you're looking for a good geek shirt, you get some good geek shirts there.
Yeah, I guess. And all right, besides,
I got my Harry Potter beanie from them. The Deathly Hallows, nice one. Some cheap and some $25 kicks that were really nice.
You know, I still haven't seen the last like Harry Potter movies.
I hate to be that guy who says the book is better, but God damn it, the book was so much better than those last two movies. Shit pissed me off.
Oh, shit.
I like the movies generally, but the sixth movie pissed me off for cutting out all the Voldemort stuff from his origin, mostly, and the seventh movie pissed me off because it was two long ass movies where there's only really the beginning and end are important.
Jesus.
Everything else about those last two movies, it's like, at least the books, like, well, I get it. But those last two movies, like, you really, what the hell? You really could have cut this stuff out and made one film. What the hell?
Wow. All right, and let's get back to wrestling. There's a rapper named Ashuka? Something like that. I don't know. I guess he's one of those nerdy type rappers. I don't know.
Nerdcore
hip hop. I guess he might be nerdcore. But he had a song called Team Ashuka or whatever, and it was featuring John Hennigan, JTG, Rocky Romero, and Christopher Daniels as Chet Maverick in an old school wrestling vignette advertising the Ashuka Hustles. iTunes, like, I guess it was an album or whatever, but yeah, the...
He didn't have Rocky Romero rapping, though. Please tell me.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah, the one who rapped Ashuka, Hennigan, JTG, and Rocky Romero, all of them were bad. Every single one of them. Even the main guy who was rapping was bad. Like, it was fucking... It was a music video where, like, I guess they're in, like, some type of, like, business environment or whatever, and it was just bad.
I used to listen to nerdcore hip hop. I never heard of that guy.
But
there's like a handful of really good nerdcore hip hop guys.
Yeah.
You might like. You ever heard of Random Megaran? You might like his album.
I think I heard.
He did an album using old Mega Man beats. It was really cool.
I think I remember that guy. Yeah.
And then there was a guy, Whitey Cracker, who's an actual hacker, but he actually produced some of Too Short stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, he actually did produce at least one, because Too Short mispronounced his name on a rap song to credit him.
Oh, wow.
Because it's Y.T. Cracker, I guess it's like a hacker reference, but he just called him Whitey Cracker, you know, like Whitey. But he was pretty cool, because he was actually, I think he got arrested for hacking NASA.
Nice.
Yeah. But I never heard of the guy you mentioned. Oh, and Random's a wrestling fan. Boom. Switched it back to wrestling.
Nice. Nice. What else? What other news is there? Guess who did a WWE tryout recently? From
Crazy TNA. Steve?
Yeah. Yo, did you see? No. He looks even creepier without face paint.
That is some hard work he has to do to do that.
He looks like a freaking creep. Not gonna lie. But yeah, hopefully he makes it and he could be a better Dean Ambrose than Dean Ambrose.
Man, I was watching in the recent New Japan show. I was watching what's his name, Hiromi Takahashi, because he came out with a stuffed cat doll, right?
Yeah.
And he was, like, holding it, and I'm watching, like, you know, this guy is far more lunatic fringe than fucking Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, every time Haruma does anything, it just makes him look being crazy. He had the oversized scrapbook during the Battle of the Super Dudes. Now he has a cat doll, like, I don't know, like, what the hell, dude?
He had this weird video thing where, like, he was eating, like, the dolls that were supposed to represent, like, his opponents and shit, and he was spitting up blood. It was really weird.
And he was making out with his belt once. I'm like, dude, fuck. I mean, they both make crazy, ugly expressions in the ring, but at least with Hiromu, I bought he's legitimately insane. Dean Ambrose just seems like he's acting.
Yeah, he really does.
You know, everybody left but us now.
Yeah, I know, man. Like, Mofo's gone, Pootie left, like, early. I don't know what the hell happened. I didn't even get a response from those people. That's rude. They just left. Very, very upset about this. But we're going to continue on, because that's what we do in random wrestling. But yeah, other news. WWE had a live event in Edmonton. And guess who was there?
A Benoit?
Yes, a Benoit.
Oh, really? I was just wildly guessing.
Oh,
that one.
Are you serious? Yeah, like, yeah, it was. It was freaking David Benoit.
I just said Edmonton. Like, what are the chances of a Benoit being there?
Yeah, yes. Yes, it was David, and looking every bit like his father, man. Yo, that shit will just hold you back. Just looking like his father. Having such a strong resemblance from his father, I feel like that hurts him.
One of the podcasts I've listened to, I was going back, went through Mike and Murder, they actually did a bit, because the one woman's husband hosts a podcast, We Watch Wrestling or something, so he suggested it. So it was interesting, because it had been a long time, but there were some details, I forget now, that they were going into in that one. I'm like, shit, I didn't remember that. But I also forgot how badly his brain was damaged.
Yeah, they said his brain was resembled, like, basically they compared it to an Alzheimer's patient.
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize it was their neighbor who went opened the door for the cops and went in first.
Oh, really?
Like, that had to really fucking suck. I didn't know that.
I would have just opened the door and just let them walk in. I wouldn't go in that motherfucker.
Yeah, apparently this is when they didn't know what was going on, so she went in there to check the family first.
Oh, that's crazy, son. Yeah. I bet she was screaming.
Because I guess she used to babysit the dog sit and stuff like that when they were out.
Oh, wow.
So that's how, so I was like, God damn, that's horrible.
Wow. Speaking of horrible shit, guess who fucked themselves completely up over the weekend?
Gotta give me a clue, man.
He, former WWE guy, he does a lot of stupid shit like white people do.
Oh, okay, I think I know who you're talking about. It's that fool from Lucha Underground, right?
Yes. Yes.
Which I think I'm recording right now. I didn't see last week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so PJ Black. Yeah. Guess okay, so he had a base jumping accident, and guess what the extent of his injuries are?
Broken legs?
Yeah, he broke one leg.
Ugh.
He also broke a hand.
Ugh.
And he also lost a finger.
Shit.
This motherfucker is disabled now.
Wait, which finger? Do we know?
No, I don't, but that's fucking crazy still.
He might be able to... man, that is pretty insane.
That's crazy, man. Like, how do you fuck yourself up that bad? Oh, no, man. That's gross. But, like, yeah, I knew he'd do something stupid. Because, like, all that extreme sports, white people shit, and you're still trying to wrestle, like, that don't mix. You got to choose one or the other. You know?
Yeah, you're already in a dangerous purple diet. You really want your off time to be jumping off of things? Like, oh, no. Man.
But I'm at least glad he's still alive and not extremely, extremely injured. Because, like, he can heal them goddamn legs and that leg and that hand. Lost a finger, but I don't think it's a thumb. If it was a thumb, that would suck really bad. But I think he'd be all right otherwise.
Yeah, you know. I'm pretty sure there's a handful of wrestlers that probably don't have one or two years. Yeah. I know this old California deathmatch wrestler, Messiah, lost his finger. But he lost his finger because he owed somebody money.
Allegedly. 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 I don't know exactly how that actually came to be.
Yeah. California wrestling.
All right.
It's sometimes crazy. You know that at one time, ECW's guys got into a fight with the local promotions dudes here in California?
I think I heard about that.
Yeah, I think I had a friend who went to that show. It was XPW.
Yeah, I was about to say, wasn't it XPW? I was about to bring up. That had to be XPW. Because I heard about that feud. Because, like, I think, what was the owner of XPW was some weird fetishist guy, and like
he owned one of the more notorious porn companies.
Yeah, and then like
Extreme Studios
and his wife.
I had a friend who actually worked for him, and he was a tape trader. He worked for him, and he drove around his wife, who was also a valet, Lizzie Borden.
Yeah, I heard she was doing some of that shit with the porn stuff too.
Yeah, I think she actually went into jail for a video.
Wow.
It might
have been some scat stuff.
They were a very notorious company. And their wrestling was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I heard it was garbage.
Yeah. But he actually worked there, and because he was a tape trader, he would sometimes, you know, they would ask about indie dudes, and he would actually have to pull out, like, his date. Actually, he said he kind of screwed it up for, like, Jody Fleisch and them, because they heard about them and they asked him. So he brought out an ROH video, which was just a random six-man scramble, and they were all doing slots and shit, and they were like, nope, we're not hiring any of these guys.
Wow.
All right, yeah, Extreme Studios, the guy's name was, well, he went by Rob Black. Let's see if, I'm pretty sure, like I said, she went to jail once, but I'm not, yeah, she appeared in a, okay, she was indicted for something.
I thought it was scat stuff.
Actually went to a grand jury indictment for distributing obscene materials via U.S. Postal on the internet in the Pittsburgh area.
Oh, wow.
She was I don't know how long she went to prison for, but she did go to prison.
Wow. Wow.
So we kept that to wrestling, too. Awesome.
Yeah. All right, and speaking of California, last Friday, there was a PWG show. And, yes. There was a surprise guest, apparently. I guess he decided to pop up there. People caught wind of it. James Franco was at the show.
Yeah, they occasionally get some people, like when, what's her name, and the new future Deathstroke showed up.
Yeah, it was Sophia Vergara, and I can't pronounce his name, sorry.
Joe Maniello.
Joe Maniello, yeah.
Who was great in the Pee Wee Herman movie from last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I loved that movie. Yeah, and then who else showed up? What was the girl name from a Community that... She used to go to PWG shows all the time. What was her name? Damn it. Fuck. She's in that one TV. She's in the one Netflix show called Love.
The blonde haired girl?
Yeah, the blonde one.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
I forgot her name. I don't know why.
To me, the big news for PWG is Chuck Taylor delivered. He said he'd hit a crossbody. He hit a crossbody, and he won the match.
Yeah.
I was like, that is a man who promises and delivers.
Man, I ain't worried about that. I'm worried about James Franco. He could be plotting something. Because you know how weird PWG. You know how weird James Franco is. He might decide that he wants to do some weird project involving wrestling or some shit.
He's going to do the super drag story. Gonna play super drag.
What story is he doing right now? I think he's doing a movie.
Tommy Wiseau's film.
Yes, based on The Room. Yeah. Yeah.
James Franco is one of the hardest working men in Hollywood, and he is so fucking weird.
He's so weird. Yeah, I think people got on him because I think he got caught slipping once. I think there was like some 17-year-old girl trying to holler at him or something like that, and he bit on it a few years back. I think I remember that. Yeah.
I think the weirdest thing about him is he does all these movies, and I'm not even sure if half of them ever fucking come out. Like, because he did another movie that was, I guess, based on a true story that people were looking for, but I don't know if it ever came out. I forget what it was called. But
did he do a James Dean one?
Yeah, that was earlier in his career.
That
might have been before he did Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was before Spider-Man, yeah.
He's still the best Green... Well, not the best Green Goblin, but he's... Yeah. They ain't never going to do a good Green Goblin.
They're never going to do it. Speaking of Green Goblin shit, but like they said the Rogues Gallery for like Spider-Man, I think, would also include Carnage and possibly Kraven.
Carnage is in the Venom movie.
What?
I heard Carnage is going to be in the Venom.
Yeah, and they announced that Venom. Well, I think this one lady producer, I forget, I think it's Amy Pascal or something like that, said that Venom would still be connected to the Spider-Man universe or whatever.
Marvel don't even give a damn about any of these movies.
And they don't give a shit.
I'm actually interested in Silver Sable, Black Cat.
There was one video where like there was an interview. There was an interview with I guess that one lady producer and Kevin Feige, you know, the guy who does all the executive producing shit for Marvel and whatnot, and for the MCU. And like when she announced that the Venom was going to be part of the Spider-Man universe, the look on his face, he was like, "What the fuck?" Like, I don't remember hearing all that shit. He's like, "You talking some shit I ain't ever hear."
that relationship is going to go sour if they don't talk.
It is.
Because they're doing Silver Sable Black Cat, which I actually think is a smart idea.
Yeah.
And props to the lady who's directing it. She's going to be a black woman taking on a superhero movie.
Cool.
Props to her.
Yeah. That's cool shit. And speaking of Spider-Man shit, I think they just cast Mahershala Ali and Brian, I forgot what his last name was, but he was, he's Paperboy in that TV show Atlanta, but they cast, both of those have been cast in the animated Spider-Man TV show that's helmed by Donald Glover, so they're getting some black folks in that motherfucker.
That's the Morales one, right?
Yeah, I think that the Morales is one, I think, yeah.
Alright, now I'm trying to figure out how we can circle back to professional wrestling.
Oh, of course, no. My last bit of news, speaking of Hollywood shit, guess who made cameos in the new Transformers movie that's going to come out?
I'm assuming it has to be a wrestler, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's two WWE UK guys.
Oh, it has to be Trent Seven and Tyler Bate because they got the mustache, right?
No. Well, you got one right. Trent Seven. Other guy, Wolfgang.
Really? That was actually going to be my next choice.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, they both had roles. Apparently, they're playing medieval soldiers. Because, like, the movie is called Transformers The Last Knight. And I guess they're doing some thing where they're showing like Transformers in two different eras of history, I guess, like present day and.
Because they're making a Transformers universe coming up, so they got to stretch out the universe.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I heard this is Michael Bay's last Transformers too.
I also heard that this movie's going to do not that good in the States.
Yeah.
But, you know, the studios are more and more banking on the international sell now anyway.
Yeah. But, Trent Seven and Wolfgang for getting that nice rub, getting that movie time, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it'll lead somewhere. Because, let's be honest, I don't think either of those guys are going to be top WWE dudes.
Yo, I hope so. But it's still cool, man. I would love to be in like one movie, you know, just to even being an extra in a movie is dope to me. You know, I'd be
my grandma got to be an extra in a film or a TV series. I forget what.
Yeah.
Recently, I think her actually was in an acting class. One of her acting class, it was like older ladies, ended up being in a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode.
Oh, nice.
The one where at the what's his name? Peralta's at the wedding. He wants to get with that one girl, but he doesn't. He ends up dancing with the grandma at the end of the episode. The lady from my grandma's acting class. Because she asked me, "Is like, did that episode happen yet?" I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about, grandma."
Yeah.
But yeah. So just to know, you can be an actor. You can be get older and be an actor. That shit does actually happen. I think the late great Alan Rickman was. He didn't get into screen acting until like his 30s for Die Hard. Oh. At least from Dead Like Her.
Wow.
She quit her job with Hollywood. It took her some time. But yeah. You never know, man. You might have a chance.
Yeah. Right. Everybody's got their shot. And yeah. So yes, for Rant and Wrestling. Don't have much else.
Yeah, we lost a bunch of people getting here.
New shows of the weekend.
Yeah, I don't actually. I think the only thing that's important is the Ring of Honor show. Cody Rhodes versus Christopher Daniels for the title.
Oh yeah, I heard that he has two different chances to win a world title. He has one with ROH and one with the IWGP world title.
Yeah, and I think that's it. There was like. I did the Tempura Boys debut for Chikara for the recent show, so I thought that was interesting. I might actually end up checking out the Johnny Kidd Invitational because it sounded like a full good show, and I'm very interested to see Matt Riddle inside a Chikara ring. Apparently, his match with Hollow Wicked was really fun. The tournament was won by Rory Gulak, by the way, so yeah, good for him. I don't think there's any other shows. Oh, there is one bit of news. Chandler Biggins, I believe he's the co-owner of AIW.
Yeah.
He had been in the hospital in and out for a few weeks. He passed away just recently.
Yeah, I heard about that. R.I.P.
So, R.I.P. to him. Just wanted to throw that out there before we forgot. Yeah.
All right. All right, time to plug some stuff. Check us out on rantemradio.com. You can also check them out on Twitter at rantemradio. Rant Ian Radio has their live feature where our shows are broadcast, including the flagship show, The Rant, Freaks and Geeks, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, our show that airs on Thursdays at 9 p.m. You can check me out on doomsday59.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday519. On YouTube as my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla. And, of course, you can check me out on Instagram on Doomsday Gorilla and Snapchat at Joey Doomsday 519.
All right. You can see me on Instagram, Instagram.com/WestsidePeriodGoth, where I have introduced the world to the return of Zima just recently, apparently. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Not selling.
Zima ISIS.
I walked in, I saw that shit, I'm like, what? And they hadn't sold a case, I don't think.
Wow. I think the last time the last time I ever heard of Zima was that movie, Beer Fest, where they were joking about how Americans drink Zima and Smirnoff Ices.
Yeah, Zima was a joke when it came out. They used to make fun of it all the time. All the sitcoms, like, you know, Married with Children and shit. Zima was the butt of all jokes. But, yeah, that's mainly where you can find me. I mean, I'm on Twitter, too, but the few times I'm mostly just retweeting GIFs and comic book-related pictures. But I recently retweeting Lucha Libre matches so that I can remember watch them later. So yeah, that's it. Oh, my Twitter is at Westside Gump. There.
All right. So yeah, that's it. And I'm gonna send us off on note. Hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.